Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show,
John Elway, another guy, ran on the move and threatened to play baseball if they didn't get these dollars right for him.
I think Matt Bowen spoke to you back in the day about the cross training of different sports. Don't just specialize in baseball, specialize in football or basketball. Have that cross training so you can utilize those movements in the other sports that you're playing.
That's right. And those muscles that you sometimes don't use in one sport, you can use them in another sport. So maybe we're on to something. Maybe Cole has unlocked a secret onto how to win in football. Draft baseball players as quarterbacks.
Kenny Williams, like, I did the opposite, y'all.
Yeah, he did. But he was a football player that played baseball. And then he was always out here looking for guys that were like basketball players or football players. And in the case of Tim Anderson, it's worked out great.
Got one. All the rest,
I don't want to hear Jared Mitchell's name brought up ever again. I heard it on Locked On Sox this morning, and I ain't appreciate it.
Who said Courtney Hawkins' name, too?
The same guy.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
No matter what, we still dancing, y'all. Let's go! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. There's a lot of baseball for us to discuss, as witnessed by the transition with Dan Bernstein today. We're also going to talk some football. My buddy Mike Clemens, who covers the Packers for the Wisconsin Radio Network and SiriusXM, I asked him if he would be available today, and he said sure. So he's going to shed some light on what's happening with the Packers. We'll do that at 12:40. Jason Leisure, who covers the Bears, is his regular Thursday spot. He will come and visit the show at 1 o'clock. We will talk about the Packers, but we'll also talk mostly about the Bears. And he said something on his Sports Adjacent podcast that I want to ask him about, too. And he's so right. Like, a lot of the reporters were like, oh, yeah, I totally knew that's what the Bears are going to do. There's a lot of that going on Thursday night and Friday. So I'll talk with Jason Leisure about that. The phone number is 312-644-6767. That's the number to the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Become a better, and download the BetQL app. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score studios. You can go get yourself a new Hyundai at your local Hyundai dealers. There's a lot for us to get into. I want to spend some time talking about how fun the Cubs have been the last two nights and drama-filled baseball that we've seen with the Cubs coming up on the winning side and sweeping the Dodgers. I don't know if that means anything to Cubs fans. I know that we'll discuss it, but I know that the Tony La Russa issue is a pressing one for a lot of people. So let me just continue some of my thoughts on it that I was having with Dan. And if you would like to be a part of the show and you would like to share your opinion via text or via the phones, 312-644-6767. I see some people are out there on Twitch. What up to y'all? We are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. I'm in studio today, so if you want to get a glimpse of the show in studio, you can do that. I'll probably be in here more often now because I'm 2 weeks out from my second shot. So I technically, according to the CDC, I am fully vaccinated. So you should be seeing me a little bit more here in the Score studios, in the Score Hyundai studios, by the way. Here's where I stand on all of this so that you know where I'm at. And, like, I know that a lot of people were thinking, oh, Lawrence is going to turn on the microphone today and tear everyone a new one. No, I'm not. I'm not. Because I've gotten over my anger about the process that went into the hiring of Tony La Russa. And I'm even past the Barry Horowitz of, I told you that this is what was going to happen. Well, all right, maybe not yet. Hold on. Let me give you one more Barry Horowitz. I told you that this was going to happen. So now that we get to that point, I'm trying to look for solutions. There's some things that that I think matter in this situation that have to be taken into account. And what Dan and I were talking about is this being an organizational problem now. The manager not being good and being behind and not knowing the rules in certain situations. And I know that there have been some changes over the last 2 years to the rules, and it is incumbent upon the manager to know them. The Major League Baseball rule book is thick. It is complicated. Okay, fine. If he doesn't know every nuance of the rules, there has to be something that's in place that allows for him to do the best job that he can. That's where I'm at. I'm blaming the entire White Sox organization for what you've seen from the manager. We already know that the blame on having him in there is the owner. There's nothing that can be done about that. But what can be done is don't waste these guys' time. If this group of White Sox figures a way to win the World Series this year, it will be an amazing job by the players on this team. Because not only are they fighting the opponent on the field, they are fighting their entire organization. They are fighting the owner. They are fighting the GM. They are fighting the manager. And if they are somehow able to overcome that, it'll be one of the greatest victories in baseball history. As an organization, the White Sox have to support this guy. They can't have him make a mistake that grand in a game that matters. And on top of that, they can't have him looking ignorant in a post-game press conference. Those are all things that are within their grasp, are within their power as an organization. They can't do anything about Tony being the manager. And my hope is that they aren't just kind of, as Dan said, passive-aggressively hoping that he gets fired. No. You don't get that luxury, because that means you're wasting the players' time. You've got to figure out how to make him better. And that means having someone that really is on top of it. Like, remember the situation where you had Lucas out there looking like he was ready to be out of a game, and Tony didn't take him out of the game, and Lucas kind of told you that he was done. And yeah, it was frustrating to me that the manager didn't know, but the argument can be made he doesn't know Lucas yet. You know who does? Ethan Katz. You told me that part of the reason that you were bringing him in here is because his familiarity with Lucas. He should have been empowered to take a trip out to the mound and be like, he's done, Tony. We might want to go in a different direction. If what you're telling me as an organization is that Tony is walking around 35th and Shields like Godzilla, and he can't be reasoned with and he can't be talked to, I haven't heard that, by the way. That's not anything that anyone's told me. But if you're saying that the other people around him don't feel empowered to say something, then it is something that has to go to the owner. And you have to say, Jerry, we want to make this work. We need you to help us make it work. But this is the lot that they've chosen. As they sat there, as Rick sat there inside that press conference talking to you about how he and Tony have talked about baseball, and that over the last couple of months that they've come to see the game in the same light and all this stuff, cool. Support them. Support them. And that means after that game is over, someone needs to grab Tony. Maybe even actually grabbing him. Tony, hey, we want you to be ready, because you're going to get asked about that situation. This is what the rule book says. These were your options. And you can handle it whatever way you want, but we want you to be armed with information as you walk in. And then, Herbie, do we have the sound of James explaining the rule to him? If you do it that way, then something like this doesn't happen.
Tony, without using Hendricks as the runner in the second inning, was that an intentional choice? As the rule book says, you could have used Abreu as the pinch runner if in that case.
Well, you have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said, if the player in the batting order immediately preceding that half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, you know, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead
of... If I'd known that, I didn't know that. I checked the rule. That was why the guys on the bench came out and questioned me about, you know, that Liam was going to be the runner. And I said, yeah, I know. So we didn't know it. But I know because if you look at the other guys that you would double switch out of the game, I mean, those are not guys. Vaughn was the guy to come out. And I thought we had to get out of the thing. You know, Kopech done a great job, but, you know, his command there at the end. So we got the out in the ninth. But, well, you know, I'll reread that situation. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
That's not good. That entire 90 seconds of gobbledygook at the end of it is not good. And you can prepare him for that. Like, honestly, like, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about this. The White Sox could have prepared Tony for that exactly the way that James did. Tony, here's the rule, verbatim from the rule book. Now you know, and you can figure out how to answer the question when it's asked. All this stuff is organizational. If the man's going to be your manager, and there's no indication that he isn't, then you have to support him. And the White Sox as an organization need to do a better job of it. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We are talking White Sox. We're going to throw in some Cubs conversation and take your phone calls next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
He was being transferred.
That's not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in grave danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger? You said is there any
other... I recall what I said.
I can have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm...
Why the two orders?
That's what that reminded me of yesterday. Having the court reporter have to read something back to you. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. A texter says, Lawrence, I appreciate your point, but it doesn't really make a difference the White Sox prepping before a press conference, because then it's just an emperor has no clothes scenario, correct? Hey, Tony, make sure you tell the reporters you know there were only two outs. Good PR move, but I'm all reality. He is not in his right mind to run a Major League Baseball team. The point of the people who work with him is to make this work. What you and I think as far as whether or not he's competent, if they think that he's up to the task of doing the job, the owner has given the edict, this is the manager. So if we're not going to waste the player's time, and that's my focus, then they have to make him the best that he can be. They have to prop him up. It's a Weekend at Bernie's situation. They've got to do everything that they can to make this thing work.
Yeah, because if at the end of the year the White Sox don't make the playoffs, yeah, a lot will blame Tony La Russa. But guess who else is going to get blamed? Rick Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who else is going to get blamed? Jerry Nairn. Miguel Cairo, all these guys.
Ethan Katz, this is the reason that we brought y'all in here, was to bolster a guy that hadn't been around the game. The other thing is, here's my question about Tony and his... I got a question about pride here. It's a nuanced point. does Tony's pride manifest itself in, I'm going to fight through this and I'm going to be better, or I'm going to try and be better. And even though it's not working, I'm going to try to make it work. Sometimes the better part of valor is discretion. Or does his pride manifest itself in saying, I'm embarrassing myself? This is not who I was when I managed. I don't feel like I'm the same manager. I'm not with it. I'm losing my team games. I'm going to walk away.
Or the third thing where he's like, I'm a Hall of Fame manager. I don't need this. Like, he's like,
he's got the ring on.
That's enough. Like, I got my bona fides, and this is what I was talking about when he got hired. What's his motivation? A third organization championship? What does that do for him? Another Hall of Fame? Who cares?
It doesn't really do a lot, but it's clearly doing some damage to who he is and who he was, because he doesn't look like he's up for it. Southside and Jason. Hey, Jason, you're on the Score.
Yeah. I got a point and a question. Okay, here goes the point. I think he cost them about 5 games this year, making them, it should be 20-9 right now. And my question is this: when, I don't know what his fascination with Hamilton is, but high leverage situations, why is that guy always coming to bat? Didn't they have Eaton? Didn't they have Mendick? Didn't they anybody else besides him to lift a fly ball?
Yes.
He wasn't going to hit for 5 ball.
You wouldn't think that Billy Hamilton would be the guy that you put up in there in that situation, but it's come up over and over again that he seems to really like Hamilton and Leury. And those two guys, the farther out you go on the timeline with those guys getting at bats, the worse those players are going to be, because they're not very good players. And you saw both of them play a role in the loss yesterday, because they're not very good players. A texter says, is it possible that Hahn and company don't want to make it work? 1-year experiment and get the guy they really want. Here's my feeling on that. I don't think that that's the case. I know that there were a lot of people who didn't like this hire, but if that's the case, then they should have quit. Because you're wasting players' time. You're wasting an opportunity to win, because your team might be good enough to overcome all of this. If you weren't going to go 100%, like let's say that it took a little, like you had to lick your wounds a little bit. If you're Rick or Kenny or anyone else inside the organization that was like, this isn't the way. Let's say that you took some time to lick your wounds and be like, all right, this is what Jerry wants to do. I am committed to being here because I'm staying here. Then you have to be committed. If you're not helping him out of spite, that's a bad look for everybody, and it's a waste of Tim Anderson and Lucas Giolito's and Yasmani Grandal and Jose Abreu's time.
And when people are talking about Billy Hamilton and we're like talking about the other options, Billy Hamilton was picked up by Rick Hahn. Adam Eaton was picked up by Rick Hahn. So some might say he's already done this quitting thing because Jake Lamb's on the damn team and Billy Hamilton's getting a lot of tick. Oh, injuries. Well, we had Eloy Jimenez in left field. You know, oft-injured outfielder who we keep on telling you don't play in the outfield? That guy. So, yeah, Rick, if you're doing this I'm not helping Tony thing out, you're responsible. Even if you are helping him out, you're responsible.
Let's go to Steve from Peoria. Hey, Steve, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, first time. Nice talking to you.
Same here. Hey, what's on your mind?
My thing was this. First off, when you said, what did it remind you of? Reminded me of that Charlie Sheen movie where the players were against management. The
Major
only thing
League.
Difference was that Major League. But the only thing difference was that the manager there was better than Tony. Second thing here is that I'm thinking, I know Herbie had sort of brushed off my idea, but I'm thinking that the PR people are trying to, they're sick of putting lipstick on the pig.
Yeah, but they can't be. I'm sorry. Like, if that's the way that everyone over, I don't have any indication that that is what's going on. But if it is, shame on them. A pox on their house if that's how they're going to go about this. You had a chance to walk away. You didn't. It doesn't help anyone to be passive aggressive and try to make him look bad. Aren't you supposed to be trying to win a World Series? You got to do whatever you got to do to make it work. Or the other choice was for you to walk away. I'm going to talk about another situation that's bad, an organizational situation that's bad. It's Green Bay. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? I'm going to find out next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
There was a report today that Aaron's condition on returning is that you're no longer the GM. Has that been communicated to you in any way with your communication with him, with Mark, or with anyone?
You know, Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. So I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you know, listen, you certainly don't like to hear those things, but at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, but no, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
Things have been very interesting with the Green Bay Packers over the last week. It was around this time last week that the story started to bubble up, like right before the draft, that Aaron Rodgers was unhappy and there might be a trade at work. He didn't want to come back to Green Bay. I want to find out more about this and where things stand right now. Mike Clemens does an incredible job of covering the Packers for the Wisconsin Radio Network. You can also hear him on Sirius XM NFL Radio. He's nice enough to join me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. You can check it out right there on North Avenue, or you can go to apford.com. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, Lawrence, good to talk to you again, pal.
Same here. I want to know if you can give us a little bit of backstory here, because I think that there are some fans that are going, wait, is this just about the Jordan Love pick? So what's going on with Aaron Rodgers the way you see it?
Okay, I'll try and do this quick timeline for you. Packers just lose to the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field for the NFC Championship. And post-game, Rodgers goes up and says, you know what, every player, you go through that season, you get to the postseason, and suddenly your year comes to an abrupt end, and you know your roster is going to change. And he goes, yeah, you know, this group we had, Mercedes Lewis, and I don't know, Aaron Jones, my running back, he may leave in free agency, and my center, Corey Linsley, and all that. And I don't even know about my future. I don't know if I'm going to be back. Well, there's some – after the game, there's about 10 of us still in the press box, and half the group thinks, what does that mean? And I was in the group that just said, he's talking about that class, this group. You know, half these guys may move on or not get re-signed, et cetera. Others thought maybe he was sending up a flare about himself, like, you know, I'm done. I'm out of here. So it's not until really the draft day, a week ago, today, in the morning, Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, is on his show up in Minneapolis and saying, I'm hearing that the 49ers called the Packers and gave up a third-round pick, you know, that third-round pick that they ended up taking the quarterback with, and asked, "Is Rodgers, is there trouble? Do you, you know, would you trade him out to San Francisco?" And now you've got Kyle Shanahan, who's friends with LaFleur, saying, yeah, I made that call to Matt. It was a short call. Matt said, no, Aaron's not for sale. And that was that. But, you know, Paul's talking about it, and then that gets picked up around here. Immediately, the way I read it, I think the Packers tried to put out that fire immediately through one of the beat reporters who posted, that report's not true at all. Then about noon at this time, last week, Thursday, draft day, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, who's based in Minneapolis, who used to cover the Vikings, says, I'm hearing this happen, that the 49ers called the Packers last night and offered, you know, we're talking about trading for Aaron Rodgers. By 2 o'clock, Adam Schefter goes on the big network and says, not only is this bad, Rodgers doesn't want to come back, and that Mark Murphy, the president of the team, and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, and Matt LaFleur have all made individual trips out to California to meet with Rodgers. Well, now that's crisis level. That's crisis level. Imagine being a general manager, and it's, you know, a few weeks before draft day, and you've got 8-9 hours round trip flying from Green Bay to California for a 2-hour meeting with your quarterback to beg him to come back or see what his problems are? You know, so that's where we got into this situation. Then, of course, over the weekend, there's these stories start to trickle out, and anything that Rodgers has said in the last year, like, you know, joking around that Brian Gutekunst is Jerry, what's he call him?
Jerry Krause Crumbs? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, reference to the Last Dance documentary. I know that, you know, or that, you know, that cutting a wide receiver, Jake Kumerow, was the last straw. You know, last year in camp, I was talking to the guys in the fan in Milwaukee and saying to them, listen, man, there's this Malik Taylor kid. I mean, after Davante Adams and MVS and the rest of the receiver quad, this kid's making inroads. And they've got him running jet sweeps in practice. And he's back returning kicks. He's an undrafted kid. I said, but this kid, this is going to knock somebody out of the receiver core. And sure enough, they cut Jake Kumerow, who'd been with the team about 3 years, who Rodgers had praised over the years for his technique and whatnot, and, you know, his professionalism, and, you know, one of these guys that Rodgers can, quote, trust to throw the football to. Well, Aaron had just done an interview with Sirius the day before, which he was lining up. Yeah, I'm going into the season with some experience. I got Davante Adams. I got Alan Lazard, who, by the way, last year they cut and brought back, an undrafted guy. I got MVS, and I got Jake Kumerow. And they cut him the next day. And so people saying, boy, that really ticked off Rodgers. So those are some of the things. But at the last night, Lawrence, on CBS Sports Radio, John Kuhn goes on, the longtime Packers fullback and teammate of Rodgers, and I know that Rodgers talks to him from time to time. He goes on and says, I've talked to Aaron in the last week. He wants to come back to Green Bay. He wants assurances that this isn't his last year. And then, you know, by the Packers' plan, they can move on to Jordan Love after Jordan's had at least 2 years in Green Bay, has finally had some preseason games. And if they want to move on, they can. And Rodgers just wants to say, if I'm coming back, I want to make at least the next 3 years till I'm 40. And you guys do what you want to do with Jordan Love. Well, that's the first positive sign that Rodgers still wants back into Green Bay and that this is more about working a deal. Now, all these other things that have come out, either from the Rodgers camp, from his teammates, from people former in the organization, whatever, all this negativity, all Kuhn would say is, you know, sometimes people do drastic things when they're trying to get their way in the NFL.
Mike Clemens joining me here, been covering the Packers for a really long time for the Wisconsin Radio Network and on Sirius XM, talking about this Aaron Rodgers story. So, okay, you've laid out a lot of really good information about how this has gone on. How do you think it gets resolved, and do you think it can be fixed?
You know, everything that the Packers said over the weekend of the draft was, this is our quarterback, we're trying to get it fixed. You know, and that's the only sliver that we've seen that it's that Rodgers is looking for a way to make it work in Green Bay, but on his terms. So I think we still go back to the side of the column where, you know, where's Rodgers' head at? I can tell you this. I think Aaron Rodgers would have loved to go to the 49ers. You know, and with the weapons there, and if the guy thinks he's got a future in Hollywood and taping Jeopardy 46 days out of the year while he's still playing football, all these other plans he's got, you know, his fiance is an actress and works in the Hollywood area, that would have been an okay lifestyle change. But on the other hand, he's still got, you know, a coach that he likes working with and a great offensive coaching staff that he's raved about to us.
Okay, well then wait. Then let me ask you something, Mike. I think that you're right. I think that relationship with LaFleur has grown from where it was when LaFleur first got there. Does he come back to the Packers if Goody is still in charge?
Yeah, I don't think he can bargain for that. And I think what he's trying to do, obviously, is get the leverage to say, please, make some moves for the now, okay? Stop with this. I got 28-year-old Kumerow, average guy, but he knows I don't have to retrain this guy. And you bounce him for someone that might be one tick faster in the 40 and is 22 years old, not 28 years old. You know, I'm playing for the now. That's a prime example of what he's trying to say to the organization. I'll come back, but this is the way you've got to set up your roster.
What's been the reaction? Because I know that you talk to a ton of Packers fans. What's been the reaction of Packers fans?
Well, it's deja vu for them. This is like 2008, you know, with the Favre thing. And there's some similarities, too. You know, one of the things that was interesting, when this first broke a week ago, Thursday morning, it's like, well, what do the Vikings know about this?
You're like, right.
Well, okay. So during the Favre thing, you know, Brett had this traumatic loss to the Giants in the cold at Lambeau Field. And he did an interview yesterday saying, you know, he exchanged a text with Rodgers. And he said, you know, when that whole thing happened, he goes, the Packers are calling me about a week or two before free agency. He said, Brett, are you coming back? He said, I did not want to talk about football, man. I just didn't. You know, leave me alone. All right, if you need to know an answer, okay, I'm done. That's all right, I'm done. I'm finished. All right, well, if you're done, then come on in and let's do a press conference. And he had a tearful goodbye. And the other thing is that in the deep in his heart, he knew Rodgers was now ready to go. Rodgers had been there 3 years. He looked better in that final camp, even though Brett went out there and played his tail off and went 13-3 and lost to the Giants, who beat the 18-0 Patriots and won Super Bowl 42. So the difference with this is, Jordan Love is not ready, but I got a call from the station that said, hey, there's a report now, this is about a month before camp started, that Favre is now telling the Packers, look, either take me back or trade me and track it down. So I start calling teams that needed a quarterback. Then the Panthers was one. Then I called a buddy that covers Vikings. He says, I think your boy's been talking to Daryl Bevel, who is the offensive coordinator, who had been Brett's quarterback coach. And I said, how sure are you of that? And the guy told me what he knew. So we reported, apparently, you know, Favre likes that roster over there at Minnesota. He's got Adrian Peterson and Sidney Rice and a great lineup of free agents, and he thinks he can make a run over there. And so we said that. He's already had contact with the Vikings. A week later, the Packers filed tampering charges with the Vikings because Brett forgot that he still had a Green Bay Packer-issued cell phone.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And we're seeing another parallel with the Packers kind of going, hey, are the Broncos and the 49ers tampering with our quarterback now?
Do you remember George Patton?
I do.
He worked for the Bears and the personal. Okay. George went on to work for the Vikings for several years. He's now the new general manager of the Broncos. You don't think he called one of his old buddies back at the Vikings and say, hey, man, I'm hearing that the Packers are taking calls for Aaron Rodgers. Hey, congrats. Break open the champagne. You may get Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC North this year.
This whole thing is crazy, Mike.
Lawrence, you know that if this stuff is in the water, eventually it goes through the league, you know, like a tsunami. And that's where this – and then finally it starts breaking through. And some of these guys that cover the league at the network level, they start hearing rumblings about this, but there's not quite enough to go with it. And after the snowball started to roll, and it happened to be on draft day. It wasn't just for clicks because it was draft day. That's when this thing broke open, and now here we are. And now you've got the Packers over the weekend, the president of the team, Mark Murphy, saying, confirming, yes, this has been going on for months. I've been out there. Goody's been out there. Matt LaFleur's been out there talking to Aaron. We hope to have it resolved. We hope that he's still our quarterback.
Wow. Mike, I appreciate the time and the information. Thanks so much for breaking it all down.
You bet, Lawrence.
That is Mike Clemens of the Wisconsin Radio Network. That was thorough in explanation. I want to react to it. I'm going to do some reaction with Jason Leisure on it, and I'll ask him about Tony La Russa. I also got a text message from Leisure that said, hey, I want to discuss scenarios in which you would pull something out of the trash or the toilet. I have no idea where that's going to go, but it is the next segment here on The Score.